The future of online TV is here.
View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
When you turn on the evening news, do you see what you want to see or what you need to see? Welcome to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. It seems like more often than not, the good news and people that are making it are buried into a two-minute feature piece near the end of the report. What about giving these people and this kind of news a full hour every week? Now, here's your host, Mariana Cacciatore.
Hello, this is Bread for the Journey Radio, and this is Mariana Cacciatore. In a few minutes, we'll be speaking with Julian Bauer, who, when he was in high school, had a dream to create an environmental science AP program at his high school. He didn't let the fact that he was a student, not a teacher, stop him. With the help of El Molina High's teachers and administrators, he developed a curriculum and then came to us at Bread for the Journey of Sonoma County to ask for a grant. We'll tell you the story in a few minutes, and we'll spend the hour with this inspiring young man. But first, I'd like to share a little bit with you about who Bread for the Journey is. Bread for the Journey is a nonprofit organization that has chapters in 20 cities around the country. I am the executive director of that organization. And what our chapters do is pool a little bit of money from friends, family, and colleagues, and they all work as volunteers, and they pull it together and they find people in their community who are doing cool things, things that make the community more healthy or more vital or more beautiful or more just, and they give them a little support. They basically say in all kinds of ways, I believe in you. Let me help you along the way. So sometimes, most of the time, what we give is a small micro grant. Those grants can be anywhere from $200 to $1,500. Often, a lot of encouragement comes with that. And because we are meeting in our chapters, because our chapter volunteers are meeting so many people in their communities who are doing things, often what they'll be able to give the grantees is a connection to somebody else doing something similar or somebody who can provide something that that person needs so that resources get shared among the community. It's really people reaching out to other people in the most kind and loving way and supporting them. Some people call this philanthropy, and that's sort of a fancy word for what we're doing. It's really just generosity and giving. It's kindness. And so for me, as executive director of the national organization, I'm always looking for people around the country who want to gather with a few friends and create a chapter of Bread for the Journey. So we've got about 20 of them in cities all around the country, and we're trying to grow. So if, as you're listening to this recording, you are thinking yourself that you might like to start a chapter of Bread for the Journey, or perhaps you know somebody that does, please make contact with us. You can find us on the web at breadforthejourney.org, and you can contact me through bfjradio@gmail.com. So let's go back to our interview now. I'd like to introduce you to Julian Bauer. And I also want to say that I'm co-hosting today with my dear, lovely partner and lifelong friend, Greg McGlaze.
Hello, everyone. This is Greg.
And Julian, you're here with us now. Welcome, and glad you're here.
Well, thanks for having me.
Great, great. So, as I said to our audience, you know, you had this idea when you were in high school to create this environmental, you know, science AP program. And, you know, it's sort of unusual, I think, for a kid to dream up a class and really sort of believe in their heart that they can achieve this. Tell me what, first of all, what inspired you to do this?
Well, I've always been interested in environmental issues. I grew up in West County. As many may know, it's a hotbed for environmental issues and discussion. If there was one moment, though, that really inspired me to say we can have this class at El Molino, is I was waiting to take a different AP test, and I saw that test on the back of one of the booklets and thought, hey, why don't we have that class? We're in West County. This is a huge issue for us. We have a lot of agriculture, a lot of wildlife. It seems like something students really need to know about, mm-hmm. something I really want to know about.
And so you sort of went to – what was the first thing you did? How did you approach the school and get their support?
Well, I first went to the faculty advisor for our campus's Green Team organization, which is a group of students who tries to green up our campus by offering recycling and composting and things like that. But I approached our faculty advisor, Katie Oitzinger, and turns out she was actually an accredited teacher for that very AP class. So right off the back, it was a very it seemed like it was going to happen.
Right, right.
And from there, I just contacted our principal, Doria Trombetta, who was just very supportive and enthusiastic through the whole process. But she made it very clear that there was no money for us and we would have to find our own funds.
And so how is it that you found Bread for the Journey of Sonoma County to approach?
Well, actually, my mother's friends with one of the members of Bread for the Journey. So she put me in contact with her, and we set up a meeting. And I talked to their a few of their board members about the possibility of getting a grant. And there was nothing micro about that grant, at least for us. It was really big in getting the class to El Molino.
You know, that's often the case. You know, we often say we don't give to organizations that have more money than we do. So when we find somebody like you, and there are so many things that happen in a community where just a member of the community has a great idea, and perhaps they just need $500 or $200 or $1,000. In the world of foundations, that's considered a micro grant, but just like you, just as you said, in the world of, you know, human needs, $1,000, there's nothing micro about it.
Exactly.
Right. And so did you have to complete a big grant proposal? Tell us a little bit about how the process went for you with Bread for the Journey of Sonoma County.
Bread for the Journey made it really, really easy. For me, I just sat with them at a local cafe, and I pitched them my idea, and they seemed to really like it.
Did they ask a lot of questions about how you were going to be able to carry this out?
Yeah, they wanted to make sure the money was going to a good place and wouldn't be wasted.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of the way most of our chapters like to do it. We meet with people over a cup of tea or a meal and just talk across
exactly.
the table.
It was very, very low-key. It wasn't intense at all. They really let me pitch to them my idea for the program.
That's great. And at the same time, you know, they're usually very curious and inquisitive. They want to know a lot about if the person has the sort of chutzpah to carry it out, if the plan is well thought. And sometimes it's not. And what they're looking for there is how they can hook that person up with somebody else to perhaps maybe shape the idea well. But if you received a grant right away, that means that they really saw that you were ready to go and that you had the support that you needed, it sounded like, from your school, and you to pull this off.
Oh, yeah. And there was so much support from parents of students who wanted this, program. I think that was also the really big factor in getting the grant. I think we had the $1,000 in matching donations from parents for the program. So I think Bread for the Journey, I guess they saw that and thought, oh, wow, this is a program that might actually happen. This could work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Great. How many kids did you have in the program when you
Well, we had a sign-up sheet go around the year before, the semester before, mm-hmm. and we had 26 people sign up. That number naturally waned, and I think we ended up with about 15 to 18 people in the class the following semester.
That's a good size class. That's perfect, I think.
Oh, it was a very nice environment, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Julian, I was wondering, when I grew up, my parents were very involved in camping, and we grew up six blocks from the ocean, and we worked with Heal the Bay and a lot of organizations that sort of help take care of the environment. Do you remember sort of the kinds of influences you might have had or exposure from the way you were raised or, with either family or parents? Even the community?
Yeah, it impacted me immensely. I live in a 5-acre parcel, so I'm really blessed. I have a field, big oak trees, a towering redwood. It's pretty nice. I would look out and say, wow, this is really nice, but I know not everyone is exposed to nature like this, like I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's really important to conserve it.
Right.
I don't want to see it go. I want to expose other people to what I see and how it's changed me.
Mm-hmm. Right. What kinds of things did you notice possibly that your parents were doing that inspired you to continue with environmental work?
Oh, they've just always been just very well read on environmental issues, and they like to keep up to date so they know what's happening, and that passed on to me. I'd always kind of know what's going on in the world, know what's happening in our environment, know what's important, what issues are being hotly contested,
mm-hmm.
and the importance of biodiversity and just keeping a lot of green in the world.
Mm-hmm.
For our listeners, we have listeners from all around the country, and so when we talk about West County, what we're speaking about is Sonoma County, which many people know as the wine country. It's a big agricultural area. There are farms and dairies and wineries everywhere throughout the county. It's a very diverse region, and the school itself, El Molino High School, is a 50-acre campus that lies within the headwater area of the Green Valley Creek, which drains into the Russian River in Sonoma County. And the Russian River provides a habitat for endangered salmon and steelhead. It provides drinking water for many of the communities in Sonoma and Marin County. And of course, there's lots of recreational opportunities for visitors, as I just spoke about we can call wineries recreational activities, but it's an agricultural land and people come here just to do that. So it was the perfect place. I think El Molino High School is the perfect place for the students to begin this class, this environmental studies class?
Oh, yes, it was. We have a lot of very local issues that are very important, such as a relation between the vineyards, as you're talking about, and the river, the Russian River. There's a lot of water rights issues going on right now, and that's one of the topics we touched in our environmental science class,
mm-hmm.
is how the lack of water affects salmon spawning and how fertilizer runoff can create algae blooms and further affect the marine life in the river. So it was a really great location for the class.
Yeah, that's great. And so in a couple of minutes, we're gonna take a break. And in a couple of minutes, we're going to come back. And I'm going to ask Julian, Greg and I together, going to ask Julian questions about the class itself. What a day in the class was like, what kinds of things they did day in and day out. And then in our third segment, we'll talk about Julian. We'll go back to talk about Julian, the future of the class and the future and in his future. So please stay with us. We're going to take a break and we'll come back in just a few moments.
Ask the experts. Call toll free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
So are you connected to the meaning of your life? Are your relationships and career satisfying and fulfilling? How about your parenting? Are you feeling some challenges there? Listen for He Said, She Said every week with husband and wife, Jonathan Nadelman and Carrie Dino. In addition to being married and the parents of a spirited daughter, Carrie and Jonathan share over 40 years of clinical experience as psychotherapists and want to hear all about the challenges you're facing. He Said, She Said airs live Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
Racism. Healing. Oneness of humankind. It is time to join millions of people all over the world who openly talk about racial healing. Some of us are not sure how to tread when discussing race and culture. Until now. Tune in to A Safe Place to Talk About Race with host Sharon E. Davis. Engage with experts and notables. Have a question but are not sure how to ask it? Test it out with our show. It's a safe harbor to explore views and situations that we face every day. A Safe Place to Talk About Race airs live every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel. Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back. And in this radio show, we're speaking with Julian Bauer, who, when he was in high school, had a dream to create an environmental science AP program at his high school. And he did just that with the help of his teachers and administrators at El Molino High School in Sonoma County, and with a grant from Bread for the Journey of Sonoma County that was matched by the parents of the students that were in this class. And so in this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the class itself. And Greg is going to lead us off with some questions.
Hey, Julian. I was just wondering, sort of once you got the idea for the class and you formulated the kinds of things that were going to happen in it, can you give us an example of possibly a typical day and the kinds of things you might have done in the class or how it got started?
Well, I can talk about a day in the class. Usually it was the last period of the day. We would try to use projects to get a hands-on feel for the environmental issues. I remember one such project that we did was we actually built a compost bin for our school garden. And that was one of the funner projects we did because we were all outside of the garden together. We built the compost bin. At the same time, we focused on what makes compost so good for growing crops and growing vegetables and fruits. And the class really focused on hands-on learning of the environment.
Tell us a little bit about the lab component and the field studies. What kind of work do these components include?
Well, we would go outside, and main thing was kind of just mapping out what kind of plants, vegetation, what kind of insects and soils are different parts of our campus. Again, as you mentioned, it's a 50-acre campus. It's quite large, and there's a diversity in ecosystems. There, and we just look at like scat, see what kind of animals would be roaming around, and just insects, and we just try to get like a general idea of how much life is on our campus that we just don't even really know about.
Right.
Did you extrapolate any populations? Did you do any kinds of surveys or grid work in terms of, you know, how many insects or what kinds of mammals were around?
Well, we didn't do many numbers. We figured we had some foxes just from the scat, and
And what did you do? You were testing water as well. You were sort of following the stream of water, where it started, with their what was in the water, and so can you tell us a little bit about how you did that, where you began? And
well, our water project, we wanted to follow the flow of water from the clouds to the Russian River. And so we just went out on a rainy day, and we just found the pooling, found where the drainage system was, and just tried to figure out ways to better work the flow of water so we didn't have pooling and flooding in our campus that can lead to displacement of water, which leads to flooding and destruction of soil and plant life.
Did you find any pooling and flooding and correct it?
Yes, we had quite a bit. Some of the issues were just like block drains, a lot of leaves, and block drains or semi-block drains. Mm-hmm. And those were the main issues with pooling and flooding on our campus.
Did you test the water at all and find any pollutants in the water?
We didn't find any pollutants in the water. Our water testing, we were mainly looking at turbidity and flow. I think we didn't actually test water on our campus. The water testing we did was from the Russian River, and it came. We would test it after rain to see how much sediment had built up in the river and how that was affecting the water quality.
What were your findings? Was there a fair amount of runoff and turbidity and?
There's a lot more soil in the water. It's a lot darker.
And how does that
particulate matter?
Right. How does that affect the fish or the wildlife? And I was thinking water clarity might be important to salmon and some other fish. So if there's either too much runoff or the wrong kind of ingredients in the runoff, then it might affect some of those animals.
Exactly. If there was fertilizer in that runoff, it can create algal blooms, and it's fine when they bloom, but when they die, it takes up all the nutrients that the fish and other wildlife need.
Right. That sounds really important to keep track of that.
You know, regarding the pooling and the flooding and block drains. Now, our future classes that are part of this class that you began. Continually paying attention, that you identified places where it pools and where flooding might happen, and they're constantly keeping it clean so that the campus becomes a great place, an easy place for water drainage to occur properly?
Yeah, the flooding on our campus is pretty noticeable when it rains. It makes it hard to walk to class without getting wet, and so I feel like it's a really big it's an important factor for our El Molino to keep the pooling from happening and make sure our drainage system is working.
Right. And then you created compost bins. I'm imagining that all the food from that's left from your cafeteria is what fills the compost bins.
Well, we just had one. It was just the starting one. But we did have a lot of dump from our culinary program. They would put their food, their leftover scraps in there. It's quite sizable. We have a lot of sections of culinary. It's a very popular class. So that's where we got most of our material for the composting, which is very nice because we didn't have to go really out of our way to collect compost from the trash or force students to filter their waste.
Right.
So, did you possibly have barrel bins? What kind of composting were you guys doing? Did you have multiple containers, or how did you determine when the compost had broken down enough? Did you do temperature readings or anything like that?
Well, we just eyeballed it. We just dumped it into one big pile, and we figured there's a lot of gardeners in the class, and our teacher is knowledgeable about those sort of things. So after a while, we just shoveled the stuff at the bottom over our garden.
Uh-huh. Right.
And what are you growing in the garden there? And did the kids work to maintain that? Or is there another class that's doing an agriculture class?
Well, the green team that I mentioned earlier, they would do some gardening work. And the environmental science class did a little bit, too. Especially since we were out there working on the compost bin, we were out there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But in the garden, we had lettuce. I think we had some strawberries, just some very basic vegetables.
And any flowers?
I think there were some wildflowers sprung up as a byproduct.
An offshoot.
Yeah, we didn't really have many traditional flowers though. Mm-hmm. It was a very very simple garden.
Right.
We wanted to use the garden to help our culinary program as well with the basic stuff they needed, like lettuce and vegetables like that for cooking.
Did I understand that this class, when you started the class, it was an AP class, but it evolved into a different kind of class? I forget what the letters were. ROP class. That. Tell us a little bit about that evolution and what the benefits for the school are.
Okay, yeah. So it switched from an advanced placement class, which gives college credit, to an ROP class, which is a regional occupation program. So it was just a way to get continual funding for the program. And also this way we get larger class sizes because with the AP tag, it kind of limited people who wanted to take the class. And now that it's ROP, there's actually a lot more students want to take it. And it's the exact same subject material. The teacher's teaching the same stuff. We just can get more students in there and have a safe and a continuous way to fund the class.
Great, great.
Plus, we can have a greater impact, more students.
Better getting their hands in the
soil.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. So to our listening audience, we're going to take a break here in a minute. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Julian about his future in environmental studies and how this class perhaps influenced him, where the class might go and where he might go from here. So please stay with us, and we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
We all want to be happy, but consider that conventional thinking is what got us where we are now. The good news is there's so much more to know that can give us a new and higher perspective. Tune in to A New View of Life with host Kathy Kirk as we unlock the conversational gridlock in America by exploring new ideas and new information on every aspect of life which is needed to move us not just forward, but upward. A New View of Life airs live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Each week, Jimmy Gould brings you the stories and the people that you want to hear about. Tune in to A Current Life to hear about the journey to success, how our guests became the people they are today, and the highs and lows they experienced along the way. Each hour will leave you inspired and entertained as Jimmy gets up close and personal with every week's guest and shares ideas you can identify with and apply to your own life. A Current Life with Jimmy Gould airs Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Do you feel as if your life is just filled with random awkward moments? Believe me, you're not alone. Tune in every Friday for TAG, the Awkward Girl Guide, with your host, Ashley Iola. Ashley has learned to own her awkward, and she guides you how to do the same. It's awkward, but it can be a lot of fun, too. We'll talk about relationships, sports, food, health, family life, and social life. Each show hopes to make you a bit more in control of your awkward. Tune in to TAG, the Awkward Girl Guide, Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back. We have been having an interesting conversation with Julian Bauer, who, as I said earlier, when he was in high school, had a dream to create an environmental science AP program at his high school, and he didn't let the fact that he was a student stop him. With the help of El Molino High's teachers and administrators, he developed a curriculum with a few friends, and then came to us at Bread for the Journey of Sonoma County to ask for a grant, which he did ultimately receive. And so we've been talking about the class, but one of the questions I wanted to ask that I didn't ask were, what were the general goals of the program when you created this program from the start, Julian?
Well, this program was supposed to teach students the scientific principles and methodologies that go with understanding the inner relationships of the natural world. It was kind of to identify and analyze, environmental problems, both natural and man-made. I just want to give a general overview and really force some understanding on students.
Mm-hmm. So what sort of changes do you think you in your life have made as a result of your involvement with this program?
Well, this program really taught me that there is a career to be had in environmentalism. Before, I was kind of skeptical that I could have a good job in environmental sciences. But after going through this class and seeing how rock solid the science is, I really changed my career path to focus on environmental issues. Right now, I'm at University of California, Berkeley, in their environmental economics and policy class. And I thought that'd be a really great major to choose because I feel like economics, I can really help out the environment.
Explain what environmental economics is.
Well, the way I want to use environmental economics is to teach business owners and activists about economics so they can protect their environment. I feel like that's the best way to go about doing it. Give them the tools to protect their rainforests or protect their ecosystems.
Yeah, I imagine with businesses, they're always sort of looking at the bottom line. And one of the things they want to know is that if they're going to point their business in a
green
way, that it's not going to hurt them in their bottom line. And in fact, if you can prove that it actually helps them, your chances of success are greater. So I imagine that's the kind of thing you study in environmental economics.
I haven't really gone too deep into the environmental economics program, so I can't really speak to that. But that's
makes sense,
kind of what
doesn't
I want to do with the major.
Mm-hmm.
I was exposed to this idea interning at a local group, the Conservation Strategy Fund,
mm-hmm.
where they do just that. They go to developing countries and they teach the business leaders and people who really care about the environment economic tools and how to create models that show building a road through a rainforest might not make the most economic sense. And it's hard to argue with hard numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They can come up and show that building a dam right there would cost more money than it would make, then it's a great incentive not to build the dam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. So you're learning a lot, both in your internship and in your classroom.
Exactly. I'm very excited about this this subject matter. Again, going back to the AP class, if I didn't go through our environmental science program, I probably wouldn't have taken environmentalism or conservation as a serious career path. But I mean, I was exposed to a whole bunch of rock solid theories, and now I really want to continue my path down environmentalism and conservation.
Did you have a favorite class or one of the teachers there that really inspired you and sort of led you on to continue your studies?
At El Molino or Berkeley?
El Molino.
At El Molino, it would probably be Katie Oitzinger, the one who, the AP environmental science teacher.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause right from the back when I mentioned to her that it'd be kind of cool to have that class, she was very, very enthusiastic and wanted to get it done. And that was a big factor in bringing the class to El Molino. Because if we didn't have a teacher who really wanted to teach it, there's no point in bringing in the class. But
right.
She was really enthusiastic, and she really delivered a lot of very helpful and influential lectures
mm-hmm.
During my time at El Molino.
Right.
Yeah, she has a quote on your brochure that says, "I want to share the feeling of empowerment that I experienced as a teen and hope to inspire a new generation of environmental scientists and active global citizens."
Mm-hmm. She really does care about the topic, and that was very, very helpful when we were going through our hard fundraising period. To have her support was very helpful.
Yeah, yeah. I'm inspired by teachers who have an experience in their own youth that then, you know, drives them all the way through their education, and then they turn around and create what they can with their students.
Yeah, she really took the extra step
mm-hmm.
With this program.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you were talking about environmental economics and policy, and it also got me thinking about policy. What is environmental policy? So I wondered, Julian, if you had any interest perhaps in studying law and trying to impact environmental policy in your future. Any dreams of that?
Oh, I mean, I've considered it, but there's a lot of options out there where I can go with conservation and environmental economics. It seems like every day there's a new company or a startup who's finding an economic solution to our environmental issue. I Law would be a fun thing to look into, but there's just so much I could dedicate to myself to environmentalism. It's kind of hard to choose just one.
Yeah, you're still young in the beginning of your career. So tell me about UC Berkeley and what the offerings are there. Do you feel like you have a school that's really dedicated to the environment and all the classes? They're sort of trying to train their students to be ready for a wide range of fields in environmental studies.
Yes, my major, the environmental economics, I know is a very prestigious college there on campus. It's well known. I don't have much experience with the classes themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I have been in contact with a upperclassman who's gone through pretty much the whole program, and he just he has just good things to say about the program and just how much he's learned from it and how much he just loves the major. And I'm just really looking forward to it, just off his general recommendation and what I know about the college itself.
Yeah, it's a well-respected, obviously, UC Berkeley. Greg, you went to Berkeley.
Yes, I did. I went to Berkeley, and, I so admire you, Julian. I think as a younger person, I was basically interested in dancing and ping pong and where at 1 o'clock I might get a hamburger. So I really appreciate your foresight and wanting to take care of the planet in the way you are. It'll make a huge difference with kids like you. And I think the kinds of things you've done to expose high school students at your El Molino High is really to be admired.
Well, it's the best time to expose people to environmentalism. Because right in high school, junior, sophomore, senior year, people are thinking about what jobs they want to do, what they want to do with their life.
Mm-hmm.
And along comes an environmental science class that can teach students training and development opportunities in that field. It's I feel like it's pretty perfect.
Right.
You can influence a lot of people that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a third grade teacher for 20 plus years at a private school. And one of the things I always did was had an organic garden. So with my third graders, we'd walk over to the garden, and we started in conjunction with the science program at our school to just get kids involved with the, like you said, composting, growing vegetables, doing pH measurements on the soil. And we sort of interrelated the science with the environment, and then we trained the kids, I didn't train the kids. We asked them what they wanted to do with the profits after we sold the vegetables at the local farmer's market. And I eventually pushed them. Really, they decided on their own, and we decided to help Greenpeace and Heal the Bay and Tree People with any of the profits. So it can start younger, and high school is wonderful in terms of managing the science in a different way. So yeah, there are lots of opportunities for people to get involved with the environment in a wholesome way.
Yeah, it's just you don't even need to have a very rigorous science class. Just to be exposed to the environmental issues is enough to really, like as you said with your third graders, I mean, just letting them know, organic is a very good option.
Mm-hmm.
Just exposing them to the pH testing at a young age, just get them really thinking about environmental issues and just to be aware.
Right.
Right. Well, I want to thank you so much, Julian. This has been a very enlightening interview, and I wish you the very best in your future. And I'm really grateful that Bread for the Journey was able to support you in this work and continue to support El Molino, hopefully, as they continue this class in environmental studies.
Well, thank you, Mariana. It's been really nice to be on the program.
That's great. And Greg, thank you so much for co-hosting with me today.
My pleasure. It's an honor to have met Julian.
All right. And to our listening audience, Bread for the Journey is a nonprofit organization that could use your support. As you can see from this interview, we reach out to all kinds of ordinary people who have great ideas and just need a little bit of support to help make it happen. We take the world of philanthropy and simplify it into just simple generosity. Ordinary people helping ordinary people make this world a better place. And so if you find a place in your heart to make a financial contribution, or perhaps you'd like to start a chapter of Bread for the Journey in your town, please go to our website at breadforthejourney.org. And I believe that if we all pitch in a little bit, we can change the world. And we're trying at Bread for the Journey to make it easy for people to make a difference. And we hope that we've inspired you in that way. And so I close today, as I do every show, with this. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free. I'll see you next week on the air.
We hope our program inspired you this week. Please join Mariana Cacciatore for another edition of Bread for the Journey next Saturday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.